Well, as we continue to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, and we have been touching on this for several weeks now, the different ways the Holy Spirit works within us, the different ministries that the Spirit has, I think it's amazingly appropriate that we should come today to the Spirit's role of comforting and encouraging us. And this is something that the Scriptures talk about and we see evidence of. I mentioned Dan, of course, in my prayers, in our prayer time. Most of you know Dan. Maybe if you're visiting, of course, you wouldn't know. But Dan Riegel has been a very, very long time part of this church. Friday, he had a significant medical event, perhaps a heart attack. And he's in critical care unit now at the hospital here in town. And so for me, it's especially difficult knowing Dan, not only as a part of the church family, but as a friend, and with whom we worked many, many hours as an elder on the elder board. And so I'm certainly in prayer for him, but our hearts also ache for the family members who are struggling with his current condition and are holding out hope and praying, but really need God's presence to come upon them and to help them. This is one of those times that we look to God on the one hand for his gracious intervention, his miracle working power to bring healing, but also to comfort our hearts. And this is something that the New Testament tells us about. So this morning, I'm going to speak probably a little brief way than normal. But at the end of the service, we're going to have a time of prayer. And if you would like, you can just at the end, well, you can come on down here and we'll all pray together as friends and church family. If you're unable to stay, don't feel bad or anything like that. Maybe you have children or things you just need to do. No one's going to be judging you about that. Don't worry about that. But for all who would like to just come and spend some time praying, we'll be doing that at the very end of our time together. But today I do want to talk about God's comfort. And we read about this in one place in 2 Corinthians 1. I just want to start with this and then read a different verse. But here in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, he tells us that Paul says, God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Isn't that just that line that God, you think about God as a consuming fire and as holy as you could possibly imagine. And we think about God as love, and we think about God as spirit. But here Paul tells us that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, and who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And this is just such a beautiful description of God. It reminds us, it tells us of God's desire to comfort us in our sorrows. That God desires to do that. Sometimes we get images of God and thinking about God as, well, God's up there and, man, he's just waiting for me to step out of line and he's going to let me have it. I think that's more of our natural thinking. The Bible reveals truths like this about God, that he loves us so much that in our times of sorrows and pain, and this may not be a season of that for you today, but you probably have been in that or you will be, because that is part of life. It is part of life in this fallen world. There is much pain, there is much disappointment, afflictions, terrible surprises, calamities that come that you weren't expecting. And in those times, God is such that He desires to comfort us. And then Paul goes on to say, and as we receive that comfort from God, we can pass that on to others. We can also share that with other people who also may be in a difficult place in their life. And this divine comfort that we're going to talk about this morning comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, in the scriptures, there's some things said about the Spirit's work of comforting us. And one of the places that it's mentioned is in this, is in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, this one singular verse. And we're going to look at that. So if you have your Bibles and you want to read that along with me, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. In the book of Acts, Luke is telling us about Saul's conversion. And this is a big deal in the early church, Saul's conversion, because he is the one who would become known as Paul the Apostle, Paul the writer of Scripture, Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, Paul to whom many of us might be able to trace our conversion histories back to through other people down through the centuries of church history. This person that God chose to use. But Paul, or as he was known back then, Saul of Tarsus, had this terrible reputation as a zealous persecutor of Christians. He was a Jew who was very much committed to Judaism and the strict teachings of Judaism. But the Lord intervened in his life and revealed himself to him in a powerful way. And now Saul becomes a Christian, and he is now preaching about Jesus. Well, the Christians thought this was wonderful, but the other Jews didn't think this was so good. And so he's no longer popular among the Jews. He becomes very popular among the Christians. And then, so this is the story he's telling in chapter 9, and then all the way down at the very end, Luke gives us in writing Acts this snapshot of the situation in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria and Galilee, in that area of the Holy Land, in about the year 36 AD, a very short time after Jesus' death and resurrection. And it says there that the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is not surprising, and it shouldn't surprise us, that if indeed God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our times of affliction, because we know God and that He loves us, that should not surprise us, that we might naturally look to the Lord in times of discouragement and despair. But here we find in Acts 9:31 that the church as a community, which has been facing trouble from the Jews, which has been facing persecution, there have been people killed already for being Christians. And they're making it very hard on this new Christian sect of Judaism. And really, at this point, that's all it is. That's how it's being seen. It's being seen as outside, though, the mainstream of Christianity by the Jews, and so they're being persecuted. And in their time of trouble, Luke specifically mentions that God brought comfort to them by means of the Holy Spirit, and that this was a ministry of the Holy Spirit. The word here for comfort is an interesting term. It is the Greek word paraklesis. And it's not important that you know that, but it is interesting because the word is really a compound word made up of two other words that mean, that have the meanings beside and to call. And so the word, in a sense, has this idea behind it of to call alongside, to come alongside someone in need of help or trouble, to be an advocate for them, to be a helper for them. And so it is this idea here. And so the word paraklesis is usually translated by the words comfort, encouragement, or consolation. It does have this idea of coming alongside as one who helps, but it's not in the sense of a impersonal help. There's connected to the word is this idea of a closeness and a concern, a real concern for the person. So it is a caring coming alongside in giving comfort to a person. And of course, these words comfort, encouragement, consolation, they are pretty much overlapping. You know, you can see how they, if a person comforts you, well, that's a form of encouragement. Or a person might say, I was really encouraged by those comforting words. Yeah, because they're very much related. Or I found consolation in that person's comfort. And this was a great encouragement to me. They all kind of go together. But here we actually read the word, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And so the idea here is that through the Holy Spirit, God gives comfort or encouragement to his children in this world. And it is needed because for the Christian, there's two things going on. First of all, there is the sorrows of life that come to everybody at different times in their life. And it might be a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Christian. We all will experience periods of loss and grief and trouble. Illness is an example of that. Financial problems, interpersonal problems, all kinds of things that come in life to us. But for the Christian, while these other people may not be able to draw upon the comfort of God, or receive the comfort of God, for the Christian, they can in those times. But also, specifically for the Christian, there is the fact that the Christians exist in the world as kind of outsiders. And there is this relationship with the world that is not one of acceptance or belonging. We're not of the world. We're in the world, but we don't really fit too well because we're living according to the Lord's command, following the Lord's Spirit. We're not going in the mainstream of the world. And so we're always up against that and bumping and running into difficulties like persecution, whether that be the kind of persecution we see where people are put to death and their property confiscated and their children taken as slaves because they're Christians, or the kind of persecution where people are given a very difficult time on the job, in the job place, because it's known they're a Christian. And so people take advantage of them and talk about them and make things difficult for them. All the while, the Christian's trying to do the very best they can. But it's harder because they're not in step. They don't go and they don't use the same language, in a sense. They're not swearing and cursing every other word. And they're not involved in the kinds of things people in the world might be involved. And they have different values and priorities. So it's a twofold thing for Christians And all of this I'm saying because we do need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We do need the comfort of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Unless you just have a heart of stone and nothing bothers you. That's probably not the case. So what I want to talk about in the next few minutes is just some ways that we can receive God's comfort. And one of the ways, probably the way we might think of most readily, is the fact that we can receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit directly. And again, this is likely what you might think of first. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of King David's famous words. And you know these, I think. In Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And for David, it was this awareness of the nearness of the Lord. See? Because you're with me. That God was with him, that God was there in his difficult time, which he describes, the valley of the shadow of death, which sounds just terrible, and maybe all of us have felt like we have been in that place at some time. But even there, he says, I don't have to fear, and I find comfort from your very presence. The presence of the Lord brought David a great sense of comfort. And David did go through difficult times. If you read his life in the books of Samuel, man, oh man, the guy had it hard. He made some mistakes, but he had family problems. He had wandered into sin. People always wanting to go to war with him. He had to run around fighting. It was tough time. But he found comfort in God's presence. And as I thought about that, I said, well, how much more so for the believer today who as Christians say, we enjoy a unique kind of presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Now, certainly the Holy Spirit was with people in a sense in the Old Testament, but something new has happened since Pentecost. Okay, and this point is made at various places, and Jesus is going to make this point that the Holy Spirit is with us in a newer kind of way. And he says this in John 14. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. In you. And of course, all through the New Testament, we're told about how the Holy Spirit indwells us. Don't you know, Paul says, that you're a temple of the living God, and that his Holy Spirit is in you? He had to remind people of that because they weren't acting like temples of the living God. They were getting into some sinful things, and he tells them that, and that's why. But we're told this over and over again in the scriptures. But look at Jesus' words here. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Well, they need another helper, first of all, because Jesus is about to depart, right? This upper room discourse, the things that follow are his betrayal, arrest. He's going to have these kind of trials. He's going to be found guilty. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be crucified, and he's going to die. He's going to raise from the dead, but then he is going to eventually return and ascend up into heaven, back to where he was before, the right hand of the Father in the glory of God. And so he says, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And that's the term he uses in the larger context. I am going to send someone who is called, he refers to here as a helper. But this word helper is the same, it's actually related directly to that same word for comfort, is the word parakletos. Okay, it's just really a different form of the word that this, whereas Paul talked in earlier about the comfort, that God is the God of all comfort, and Luke said that was the comfort or the parakletos of the Holy Spirit. Here he says, I'm going to send another helper. I'm going to send a paraclete or parakletos to you. Now, in some translations, the King James, if you use that, or the Wycliffe Bible, the word is actually translated there as comforter. Taking that meaning. Here we have a bit more general sense, and he uses the term helper. But the same idea is there, that there is one who is coming alongside you, who is going to help you, and he brings with him this ability, not just to help you, but he comes in a way that brings comfort and encouragement. Now, in his days on earth, Jesus did a lot of that. He encouraged the disciples. He had to comfort them at times. But he's leaving. And so now the comforter, the Spirit will come and be with us. And so this is his point. He's leaving, but they will not be alone. The Spirit and God's, and with the Spirit, God's very presence will be with them. And will always be with them. And so we as Christians can find comfort directly from the presence of God's indwelling Spirit who is there within us in a way that is a little bit like, I think, the way that David took comfort in an awareness of God's presence in his life when he said, I fear no evil for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they bring comfort to me. And I'll tell you this, in the nearness of God, there is great comfort. If God is near, as bad as things look and feel, it's going to be all right. Because he loves us. And that's what this Holy Spirit tells us. Remember that verse in Romans 5:5 I cite frequently? That the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes into us and is residing in us. And it reveals to us and it shows us, it makes known the love of God for us. And in that there is a tremendous comfort that we can receive from God. Now, I will say this though, sometimes it's hard to receive God's comfort. And that's because when we are in those difficult places, difficult times, it's tempting to become angry with God or to blame God. And I know you're not surprised. I know. I know people do that. It's a natural response. And it's easy to then turn from God, in a sense. Yeah, you still believe he's there. Yeah, but you just kind of turn aside. And that's a hard place. That's very difficult, I know. But I will tell you this, that if you can get past those feelings and open your heart to the love and comfort of God, you can experience his comfort in a way that will absolutely flood your soul. Because this is what the Spirit does for us. That's why he does that. It's one of his ministries. And I know it's hard. There's the natural feelings. And then you hear within you the voice of the Spirit saying, I love you. I care about you. It's going to be all right. And so in one way, we experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit directly because he indwells us. We also can experience his comfort through the scriptures. When we face the really hard parts of life, we may be tempted to doubt or set aside God's word. And I know I've talked to people who have done this. Something's happened, something that is huge to them, a huge thing, a bad thing. And they say, well, I don't even read my Bible anymore. I don't look at it. But that is absolutely the thing you should not do, because God's word is a source of great comfort, and we should run to the scriptures. And again, it's a similar thing where it's a way of distancing ourselves or because we're hurt, turning from him. But we should actually run to the scriptures in those times. This one reason God gave us his word is that we can draw encouragement and comfort from it. In Romans 15:4, this is what Paul says. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through he uses the word encouragement. You could translate it as comfort, and some do, because it's the same word, paraklesis. He's talking about that same dynamic of comfort, of someone coming to bring comfort to you. And through the encouragement or comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. And one of the things I love about the scriptures, though it may sound simplistic, it tells us this. It tells us that in the end, in the final chapter, before the curtain comes down upon all of this life, the truth is, it all works out really good for us. It all works out well when we get to that point. Through all the ups and downs, the end is absolutely fabulous for the faithful believer. There is nothing in this world that can compare to what awaits us and God's when this life, this age ends. And the Bible tells us that over and over again. And so just knowing that and thinking about that and being reminded of that through the scriptures, I have found hope in some pretty dark times in my own life. And somehow knowing that, yeah, this is awful, but beyond that, seems like a long time to me, but it's really not. There is something wonderful awaiting God's children. And I have to be reminded to keep my hope, my eyes on that. And I find comfort from the scriptures. And then finally, we also find hope, or we find comfort rather, through other believers. And we see an example of this in Paul himself. And I thought this was interesting that he says, but God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning. And what he means there is your repentant attitude and your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. And so what he's telling us here is that through Titus, God comforted the troubled apostle. That there was a place where Paul was in need of comfort, and he relates, he puts himself, I believe, here in the category of the downcast. The person walking off their head down saying, man, life is terrible. Things couldn't be going worse. You shouldn't say that, first of all, because something might be worse. But you're in that place where everything just looks awful. And then Paul says, but God comforts the downcast. He comforts them. And in my case, he says, Paul speaking, he comforted me through Titus, this other guy, this other Christian. And his presence came and he was there, and that was a comfort to me. But he also says, not only by his coming, but also by his words. He told us some positive things, and that was really, really helpful to us. And so that he rejoiced. He rejoiced even more. It's interesting that at the very end of this 2 Corinthians, Paul, just a few verses up from the very end, he says to the church of Corinth, comfort one another. Comfort one another. Paul knows there's plenty of pain in this life. But if we can focus on allowing the Spirit to comfort others through us, if we can recognize the needs that others have, if we can bridle our tongues and put down the sharp, accusatory, hurtful language, and we can take up the kind, gentle, reconciliatory language, language of hope, language of what God can do, we can be a huge, huge comfort to one another. And that's exactly what I think the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Because that's what Paul said at the very first. He said, God comforts us, and now we can go and comfort others. We can do that. If you're a Christian, you can do that. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be anything special. All you have to do is have the Holy Spirit in you. And you can be a vehicle by which God delivers comfort to the troubled souls of others who are trying their best to make it through this difficult life and who are in need for someone to just come and say some kind, encouraging words. And that will make all the difference in their life. And maybe you remember that. I certainly do. When someone came to me and spoke just a short word of encouragement, it was like huge, absolutely huge in that time. And that's what we're to be to one another. We're to be vehicles of comfort to one another. We're going to end now, and we're going to sing a song. So I'm going to ask Lana to come up, sing a closing song. And then when at the end of that song, I'll have a benediction, a blessing. But then we are going to have a time of prayer that I will lead. And if others would like to pray out loud during that time, if you need to leave, we understand. That's fine. But let's just sing together. And so please stand and join me as we sing this very old but likely familiar hymn.